Hello everyone, welcome to another Funkin' Focus Dance and Dialogue Boogaloo Tradition Podcast episode brought by Funkin' Focus and Urban Artistry. My name is Jonas and I will guide you all behind the camera. Today we go directly into the heart of France, Paris. He is not only actively teaching in Paris, but also constantly traveling around the world to share his passion and craft in dancing. I'm very excited and happy to announce that next to me is sitting the one and only Walid.
Hello, 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 Jonas.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks a lot for that invitation to talk and to share a part of my story and my vision. Thanks to Funkin' Focus, and I wish we're gonna have a good time.
Yes.
And same to you.
thank you. And I would say let's get directly into it. So the first question: how did you get into street dance, and where were you at that time?
Visually, I discovered the street dance. I think it was in the 80s. Like in the street, first time I see a street dancer. It was, I remember I was young, I was less than 10 years. I was a child, so, and I see two or three guys moving on the street. So after that, it becomes really popular in Paris. We have a big movie like Breaking. And we have a program, and it was 84-85, like HIP-HOP. It's a program every Sunday afternoon on the TV, and it's a guy. His name is Sydney, and so he is the host. And so we have a program TV with a dancer, we call it Smurf back in the days, you know, like a boogie and breaker. So every Sunday I watch this around 10 years, and I feel really touched from that. So, and that's how I discovered the street dance. It was something really like on the media, and after, let's say after around on my 13, like something like 88, I start to move. You know, I was young, but I don't know. There's an expression like "j'ai fait le mur," like you pass the wall. You know, when you go on the night and your family don't like it, so at night you jump like a cat. So I discovered that word. That's 88. That's when I discovered for the first time the party, like the Zulu party.
So you already mentioned some things like the movie Breaking and also the Sunday program, and I just want to go like to the program, like which dance, like how was the focus, like which people were there, what style they were representing. Was it kind of only like a French thing? Like, was it like everything in the French language, or were there like also people abroad got invited here?
Yeah, some people was invited in the beginning, but I was so young, so I don't know the name. But you can see a lot of people from the suburb and from France came every Sunday, and they make like a kind of battle, you know. Mm-hmm. So they dance. One by one, you know, there's the camera and there's all the people around, and so there's a crew, like one of the first crew breakers, like PCB, Paris City Breakers. So that's five guys from Paris City Breaker. They also here on Sunday, and also there's Grandmaster DXT was invited. Shabadoo, Adolfo Quiñones, Rest in Peace, and Boogaloo Shrimp, Michael Chamber was invited also. So we don't, I don't know who are these guys when I was young, but after when I do my search, after I realize those guys was on the program, those famous guys of the street dance, yeah.
Nice. So, like the term Smurf, is it for you something that goes directly to popping, or is it just like the series and it's just connected to the dance scene that was going around in Paris, in France?
I think it's particular to France. From my from what I know, it's to France, you know. There I know it's connect to a record, to the Smurf, old school record from the 80s, you know. There's this image, you know, like a cartoons, with the Smurf. We call it Schtroumpf in France, but the Smurf, like, is a lot of cartoon. It's a cartoon with a lot of character, blue with white hat and white glove, stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's really connected to the track, to the record.
So it's like kind of a music. It's a track.
Yeah.
It's fashion. It's like how they were seen, like as you explained, and the time, like was there like a specific time when this was popular, or
yeah, it was really popular. Yeah in 84 it was so popular, you know. The music in that area was really connected to the electro, electro funk, disco funk. So it was really popular. That's the reason they make a TV program every Sunday afternoon. It was on the first channel, and it was I think there's a lot of people watching at that time. So I think it have a big impact here. This is how I discovered the first time. This is how my eyes discovered the first time. After what I hear, it's in 82. In 82 there's the tour with the Rocksteady, with Futura 2000. It was Europe tour, like with a hip hop, you know, always famous actor of the hip hop, graffiti, b-boy. So they came in 82 also. Europe City Tour, something like that. But I was too young.
Yes. Yes.
So this is.
So if you can like paint a picture, like you already explained, and like a lot, like are there some other things that were like connected to this movement?
I can say like in 88 when I start to go to my first party, you know, hip hop party and Zulu party, you know, in Paris, La Java, I remember I was in the suburb also, the second party, so it was really something special. It was really so special, you know. At that time everybody have a group, you know, like a band, and you have the crew, the people with who you work, with who you spend time, with who you share. So it was like a family, you know, at the time when you don't really find yourself on the education, the school, with the family. It was a little bit hard sometimes. So it was like a balance, a big balance. So you start to move with those group, and so you start to discover the hip hop, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for me it was really like a big support, you know. You feel a part of a family.
Mm. So this family, like, are some people you want to give like a shout out? Or?
Yeah, of course, my crew. So of course, to Youssouf Buck, Youssouf de Kazi Kamara. It's the guy, and Ahmed Touré was two guys from Guinea. So we was in the school together, and at 13, 14, we meet together. So I see a lot of video of dancer with them, and with Buck, Youssouf, we start to move. He showed me the afternoon party. We go to Guinea in 89. I spend 2 months like there. We go to club. We listen a lot of music. So the family was connected. The brother of Ahmed was in America. So we have a lot of information, a lot of music. Mm-hmm. So that was a big support. And to my crew, after that, my crew Oposi. So of course with David, with Momo, with Ange, with Scorpio, with Barry, and me. We were six. So that's when it becomes a little bit more engaged, you know, like your crew. You're making you practice together, you move together to the club. We make our show, the first show in the club in Champs-Élysées, Central. It was a show like on Belbif Devo. I remember it was just released, Poison. So in the style we call it hype.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the dance, like a lot of Running Man. It's mm-hmm. all that area of early late 80s, early 90s.
So you mentioned hype. Like, can you like describe a little bit more? Like Running Man.
Yeah, it's really like it's all your body's engaged, a lot of legs. You know, it's really. It's really popular dance, social dance, you know, everybody dance this style in the club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really energetic, you know, it's powerful. And so that's the style we do back in the days, you know. You can for the people who don't know that style, you can see like the footage of late 80s and early 80s, you know, like with Queen Latifah, Big Daddy Kane, with MC Light, you know, you have a lot of artists, you know. At that time, most of every video you have dance, everything was connect, you know, the DJ, the MC, the graffiti, the dance. It was really all connected together.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the club, when you move to the club, you see everybody was dancing, the DJ, the MC, the graffiti, every you know, he was not confined to one style. You experiment. Even if you have a discipline, you feel more close from DJ or for dance, but you experiment the other side of the community of the hip hop.
Oh, that's cool. So it seems like that, like, many people, like, they were together and they were exchanging having a good time. And so, like, many people maybe, like, know you, like, about popping and boogaloo. So at which time, like, you were practicing with your crew, at which time was there, like, a change, like, for you in the style, in the way you were moving?
So we have a guy, David, from our crew. So he was the older. He was from he was before my generation, you know, like and he was the first guy we see in our crew, like doing some boogie, doing some b-boy move, and after that I meet also Regis. So when we go to the club, there's this guy Regis Trucci, and so we share a lot. I was really lucky to share with this guy. You know, we dance together, we dance on, we perform on TV for a program every Sunday around 94, 93, 94. And he was really engaged to the waving, you know, boogie, and same area, 94, Star to Mick Fox, and I start to really go inside the popping to define more the pop with Fox. So that was something really huge, because I tried to understand, and for me it was so magic. Where it was magic, the effect of and the impact of that way to move, so special. So for me it was really not easy, and so I was lucky because he teach me, he show me also a lot of tape of the electronic Boogaloo Lockers in 95. So for me, I was not ready to understand, you know, but years after years, we was lucky to meet the OG and understand more, and still understanding the culture.
Oh, that's nice. So, like, you mentioned some names, like, you got some information and you were practicing with, and, like, you were a part of a crew before. So how was this shift? How did this happen? Like, did you, like, leave the crew, or, like, yeah?
Yeah, I think, so, yeah, we danced together, make some show, and I think around 94, I think we grow a little, 94, 95, and I think everybody start to do different stuff, and the rhythm was different. Some have to go back in their origin country, and so step by step, everybody take his own way, his own path. We still at that time, at that area, we see an in club, we sharing in club, in the party, but yeah, I think everybody grown, and everybody move. The separation was natural.
Yes. So this, like, are people like you were, like, who really inspired you to go into popping, like you mentioned the crewmate before, into maybe into waving and into new and different forms of moving. So how did your journey continue then?
Yes. So you at that time I tried to understand. I was practicing with Fox, as I say. We danced together. And after that, in 96, there's a friend who I meet in a cipher. It was even in a party, Tamaki Toriyabe. It's a guy from Tokyo. And mm-hmm. I remember also, we see a lot of video at that time. He bring me at his home, and we see a lot of footage of the like Pete, Skeet, the Elite Force, Mop Top, Misfit. So a lot of them. So in 96 we also have more information, and 97 96 97 98 99 2000, I danced with a company. Mm-hmm. You know, and we turned around the world. It was with a ballet dancer, contemporary African dancer, Chubby Boy, and me as a popper. So, and I also learned a lot of way to move, you know, from a different perspective, different discipline of dance. And that was a good experience, because we turned around the world, and I tried to really incorporate everything I learned at that time. So all the stuff I was sharing with Regis, with Fox, the footage we see about Mr. Wiggles, Mr. Fable, about the footage about the electronic, the Boogaloos, Pete, Skeet, always Hugo, you know, also because also I forget, but in 95 I start to travel. So we go to Germany with the French b-boy. I remember with Nabil, it's a good friend. We dance on Quintessence, it's the name of the crew. And I moved to London, moved to New York. So even that was a huge experience to move in those country, you know, to see the culture.
So can you explain how does this work, traveling to another country? It's like there are no smartphones. It's like a different age, like a different time. So
yeah,
tell a little bit more about your experiences.
So yeah. So I remember in 95 I had my friend Justy. She danced with she danced also with Nabil. Their first crew was Sans Limite. This friend Judith also was really important, because I was dancing with her in many party. We go a lot of party with Justy, you know, she's a singer. And she always she also told me a lot of story about the culture in France, in Paris. She showed me a video, and she introduced me to a friend, and this guy David and Texaco is the guy when she introduced me. I remember he was the guy who in late 80s we have MJC, it's a club, you know, kind of club for the young in every district, you know. Mm-hmm. And so so Texaco was organizing every late 80s every Friday evening, so a kind of late afternoon party with DJ and every dancer. This is when I meet Fox the first time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so late 88, 99, So this guy in 95, when she introduced me, he's supposed to go to, we plan to go to New York. And so that was so nice for me, you know. so we arrived there, we go to, we spend a little bit more than 1 week. We go to club, we go to the vinyl. There we meet the full circle. I remember that time. So Shake was there, like a pioneer of New York, Boogie Boy, Quickstep, Rockefeller, Bam Bam, the Liquid Robot. So it was really intensive week, and so that have a big impact on my vision of dance, you know, to see the vibe of the club, you know, from New York. And you know, it was funny, it was really similar to the party here in Paris, you know, but with people from the like OG, you know.
Yes,
in the party. So it was a big experience to meet those people. So yes, as I say, I come back 96, with Tamaki, still moving. It's all about the party. It's all about the people you meet and how you share the information, how you're lucky to share information, how they share information with you. So that make me grow, and so in, so after after of, also in 95 the Ghetto Original or Gem on the Groove came also, and in 92 also they came. So we see Wiggles and Faber at that time. So it was a big impact. They came back in 96 or 97 also with a Gem on the Groove in Paris. At that time, Damon was dancing in the crew. So big influence from all those years, from 90 to 2000. It's a lot of reset. We meet a lot of dancers, a lot of OG, and then in 98, then here I meet we meet Skeet, Pete and Sam.
Mm-hmm.
So then this was again another part, you know, because as I say, you know, we in 95 also in the north of France, when the Dans la rue la danse, it was in 95 in Roubaix, the north of France, they organize a big tremplin, we say in France, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big you know, it's a big organization. They invite a lot of crew of dance, and it's a weekend. There's a lot of show, and so the Hugo, Jazzy J, Mr. Freeze, Sundance, Sugar Pop came.
Mm-hmm.
So also at that time, it was a big influence. So then I come back again in 98, and that 95 was the first time, like, we see on stage the OG from the West Coast. So they came in Paris after Sam, Skeet, Pete in 98, and in 98 they came back, and they made a workshop and some show in Paris late 98, and this time it was Poppin' Taco, rest in peace, Skill Rabbit, rest in peace, Sugar Pop, Mr. Wiggles. And Storm was there. And this time also we learn and we still continue to learn this dance.
Yes. After. So you were meeting all these big names, the OGs, the pioneers, you said of the West Coast. So how was this for you, like the communication? Like you said, like you were communicating in the clubs. Like, I think it like would be like more with the movement, but to share information is like also necessary that it goes verbally. So how, and also to like get to like engage in general, like feeling comfortable talking to a person that maybe you saw like on, before only like on the clips, like on the cassettes. And now to see them in real life, so what kind of feeling was it for you?
A lot of pressure. Ah. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, you know. They're older than you, you know, they are OG, you know, it's not easy. And me, I wasn't talk English at that time, so it's all from my eyes and from what I feel. So I learned mm-hmm. from watching and from feeling it. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how we learn. That's the our vector, you know. It's what you feel, you know. It's an environment, you know. It's the music. The smell, the vibe, the people, you know, and so you watch a lot. You try to remember, you try to feel. So that was like that in the beginning. For me, late after, I can talk a little bit more, and I remember. I remember also Brian Greene, also with Brian Greene. Also Brian Greene coming with Willie, with came. Brian Greene came with Archie Burnett in '94. Mm-hmm. Same in TCB, you know, it's in Paris also. So, and they make a workshop also. I remember that time for the first time we see like an OG. From New York, dancing house, mm-hmm. in '94, and he mix like popping, and hip hop, mm-hmm. so it influenced us also the way he move. But I start the one with who I talk the most is Taco. Mm-hmm. Is the person, is the dancer, rest in peace, with who I talk the most, and I remember with Hugo also when we meet. So for me it was really late when I started. It was around 2000 when I started to understand this language. Mm-hmm. So it was really not easy. It was a lot of frustrations. But I think it had a reason, you know. I think that was the way for me to learn, to stuck on how I feel. Mm-hmm. And of course you always have I have two friends, you know, Amar and Ahmed from Funk Therapy. So we share together also a lot of our vision of dance also at that time, and they share with me also a lot of stuff they get because they already have they understand the language. So that also have a big impact.
So was it kind of, you said the frustration, was it kind of you were like, you don't feel it, you don't get the movement, or where it was not working, like as intended?
You want to talk with them, you know? Yeah, I remember in 1987, like we was in a club, it was a party, Merit Clichy, IDM, and Damon was there, Adesola was there, Mr. Twister was there, and we go in a cipher, and we share the cipher, and you know, when after that, you want to talk with them, you want to understand, you know, you want to ask them question, but that's the frustration, you know. You want to communicate with them, and it's not easy if you don't, when you don't have the language. That was not easy.
Yes.
You want to learn something. You want to know them.
So it's like you could not get the information like directly, just like by watching them, but not really by talking. So when you now go to like your personal style, like your personal way of moving, like when was there like a point where you can say there was like a click, like a point where you got something really big, where you remember like a aha moment?
When it was a high moment,
like a moment where something like a light goes on and you start to understand and something started to make sense. Maybe was it like a moment or a person?
I think it's happened a lot. It's happened a lot in the life of dancer. It's happened a lot. You have a lot of, I think there's a lot of moment. I don't know if it's easy to say there's one moment, because I really try to study this dance since many years, and I'm still doing it. I really try to understand different style, you know, the different character. It takes a lot of time, and you know, every dancer is like a bibliothèque.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can say that. So
like a library.
You know. Yeah. And it's a chance, you know, when you see them dance on live or on video, and you see them on live, on real. If you really engage on this culture, it's an impact. It's an impact. It's not easy to, but yeah.
So what was stronger than this motivation?
It have an impact, you know. It have an impact on your body, on your feeling, you know. It's you know, the respect. The respect, more you put respect on what you do, on what you like, and more you are impacted. It's, you know, if you really want it, it's like a kind of obsession, you know? So something happened chemically in your body. You don't see, you don't feel, you don't hear, you, the same way, then if it's just something interesting and you just pass, you know? So, yeah, it was like a lot of passion, an obsession. So that's how each dancer, big dancer you meet, if you really engage on the on what you do, it have a big resonance on you. I trust that.
Yes. Wow. These words are really touching me. So. Yes.
Yeah, it's deep.
It's deep. It's really deep. So, like, your teaching is like you were not only like here in Paris, like you were traveling around. You have a lot of experience in teaching, and it's like it's also like really thought out. So I would like go next to how do you systemize and organize your thoughts in your style?
Again?
Like how do you systemize and organize your thoughts? Like, yes.
Yeah. It's not easy to answer. It takes a time. It takes a lot of year. It's a process. Back in the days, for me, it was like mime. You know, I try to do it the best I can, and you try to do the same. So that's really like mime, you know. I do it and you try to do. It's really primary.
Mm-hmm.
And step by step you try to engage more conscience, more reflection, and you start to define a little bit the style, the movement. You realize, okay, some people need more coordination. They have to understand a little bit their body. After there's the way to catch the music in the way, not to catch the music in the way of the accent or whatever. No, just, you know, the BPM. Take your time, you know. Take your time. Okay, there's those aspects, you know, like we call double, single, time, you know, the stuff like that. So after you dig a little bit more in the style. So then you, in the beginning, of course, you use the mirror. It's more easy, but after that, the mirror is, for me, it's something really strange, and I'm really happy since all those years to live more and more the mirror, you know. It's okay, the mirror is okay, but not like the whole thing, you know. Sometimes you can use the mirror, but there's a more I grow and more I discover mirror can be is like a weapon. It's really dangerous. If you inject too much mirror in your way to build your identity, it can do the opposite. Then for me, it's really important, you know, to back to the communion, you know. The cipher for me is a perfect form. It can be two, it can be three, it can be four, whatever, you know. Whatever, it can be on outside, it can be, and so I come back to the roots. I come back to that tradition, and from that tradition, I think in the beginning it was a little bit hard, but I trust, and something happened, and I start to find a way when I come back to that form mm-hmm. of sharing, you know. So this is what I do now. This is what I do, and this is for me the best, you know. It's not like it's not like you are in a club and it comes when it comes. You prepare yourself. You wear your clothes, your smell, your, you know. Of course, it's another environment. Because you teach. It's a transmission, but the form have an impact.
Yes. Okay. Like. And
more interaction.
Mm-hmm. And like when people, or like just in general, like do you have also some advice? Like people go to your class, they get their information, single pop, double pop, delayed pop. And how would you like them to continue on, like to practice? Do you have, or not even like to practice, but also like if this is like giving themselves some ideas, like how they can themselves then structure and organize their own thoughts they produce.
Of course, there are some basic. Of course, I think for me in the beginning it's really important to the music, feel good, the energy. No, feel rooted, the music, and feel, how do you say, unbody what you do, you know, incarnate what you do, you know. So it becomes first, I think that. That's the beginning for me. It's like you don't have to use so many moves, you know, few moves and play with it and play with the music. And feel it. It's a dance. It's a dance.
So is the feeling something you have it or you not have it, or you...
It depends because for me it's like the conversation, you know. It's you feel alive. Tu es habité.
Mm-hmm.
You know, habité is like something is living
mm-hmm.
on you. So when you share, when you are in interaction with someone, something is alive.
Yes.
I don't think you get it alone in your room. I don't trust that.
Mm.
No, maybe it happened, but it happened because you already connect, you know, the relation. You have the experience of that kind of relation on different environments, different music, different way to wear, different knowledge.
Okay, so like to have this feeling of being alive, like in class, or like there's sometimes like there's a cipher starting and then like people sometimes, or like also including myself, like okay, it's like now it's like I'm dancing in front of other people, they're gonna watch me, I'm kind of nervous. Mm-hmm. Like, do you also experience that?
Of course. I experience so many stress. Wow. So many stress. You know, that's what happens when you engage on something and when you love something. You know, when you engage, the only way to never experiment the stress is to never be engaged.
Yes.
So that's stress is the energy. It's a big energy, and we learn how to deal with it, with the experience. More we do it, more we experiment environment like we do now, you know. you ask me some question, I try to answer, and both of us, we try to do our best, and it's just try to do your, just this question, I want to try my best, sometimes can make a pressure.
Mm-hmm. And like you were talking, like a lot of feeling, and this would be like more in the thoughts, like more in the head space. So how do you then connect? Do you get out of your thoughts and you just dance, or how is then the connection?
Yeah, the connection is again is the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Is the vibe. You know, it's the funk. this is pure because there's no mechanical or graphic or 90 degree or, you know, so it's really organic. So when you really connect everything you learn from that vibe, everything gonna be more cool.
Yes.
Of course, in your path, sometimes what you learn, it's more than what you can digest. So that's how also we learn who we are. Because we experiment our limit with the knowledge, with the information, with the data, and you learn when sometimes you eat too much,
mm-hmm.
and you realize you can digest, you can feel it. It's not possible, you can't. So you have to learn how auto-regulation. You adjust.
Mm-hmm. And like when like we were talking like more like to adjust, like when we're learning. So how do you adjust right now? How does your creation process look like nowadays?
For me, yeah. It year after year it's become better because, as I say, you realize you learn too much stuff. And too much stuff sometimes you can handle. So you have to leave. You have to leave. You have to use less to express more.
Mm. Like less is more.
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. If your mental is in a certain level, it's really hard to open space to receive the music, because you are in a zone of a lot of control, of too much control. So less feeling.
Hmm. Less is more. Open yourself for the music. Are like other things, like maybe small philosophies or just.
Yeah, it's the feeling when you feel good, you know. Just the vibe and feel rooted, you know.
Mm.
In the beginning, it's normal. When you learn something, you want to do it, you want to be clean, you want to be like that, you want to be like that. And it's okay. It's cool, but you have to readjust. It's really important. Because it's from the center. It's from what you feel. The mental have no feeling. The mental is like a fridge.
Oh.
It's like ice. You know, the fire is here.
Like you're pointing now to the belly.
Yeah, it's all this the belly, your chest, your belly. That's the connection. Is the center.
Hmm. That connects like every other part of the body.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay, cool. So, do you have like now some upcoming projects or take it a step back? Like, do you like for your creation process, are you still like creating some new things like and
now,
like
now.
Are you the devil that where you think like you go into this direction that helps you to develop like your dance?
It's funny because now for this since early January I was I have a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God, everything is better now. So and this experience have a huge impact on my vision, you know. And I think now I try to focus like on come back and have a better shape, you know. I start to back to the class also, you know, Alfortville every Thursday.
Yes.
with the Feng Chou Femme. And I have also I'm dancing with a choreographer. Her name is Dalila Belaza for IA Company, and we are working soon for a creation next year. So that's what's happening now. And there's some collaboration also with Polyrec and Ange hybrid. So
okay nice. Like you just mentioned quickly your surgery, so what impact had it on you?
Yeah, the impact it's the stop. It's funny, it's strange, you know. You can sometimes, you know, you have all your when you have 100% of your resource, you know, you don't really question what's happening, you know, you just go 100%. So what's interesting when you have pain, surgery or stuff like that, it's you step back and your vision of your body change. And then you also apprehend the movement in another way. And you realize sometimes you don't need always all that power for moving. And that's really interesting. That's what I like. So you realize how you, what you can do even when you don't have all that resource.
Nice. So, and like you were also talking before about the Feng Chou family. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all you guys, you know. You met the class. You met that experience also, and I love it, you know.
And like also like your Instagram is Feng Chou, so what does it exactly mean?
It comes from Funktronics.
Uh-huh.
Funktronics and Tronics, it's the contraction from the electronic Boogaloo Lurkers.
Uh-huh.
So I just changing, I keep the Tronics from that area. It's the late 7 and I just put Funk on the back.
Okay. So you shared some projects and collaborations in the future. Like, is there also like some travel and some areas like
here? Yeah, there's some. Yeah, soon in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
For workshop, for teaching, and maybe also in Asia in mm-hmm. April.
So how can people then reach out to you? Like, how they, yes.
Of course, all the information I spend on the media, on my page, Funktro, and there's all the
like actuality. Instagram.
Yeah,
Instagram.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. You can find all the actuality I post.
Like, is there an email address or something else?
Yeah, that's really rare now.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually, the media become your email address, you know, because you can share all your work, and it's everything is concentrated on social media. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to close this out for today, is there like any small important message out to the general world you want to give, or like advice or encouragement for all the folks out there?
Keep loving what you do. Understanding, searching, and share it.
Nice. That's definitely like a good statement at the end. And yeah, I just want to thank you, Walid, for the time today.
Dankeschön, also thank you.
Dankeschön.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonas.
German.
Thank you, Funkin Focus. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And I just want to quickly remember that you find all podcasts on Spotify under Funkin Focus, Dance and Dialogue, and Funkin Focus YouTube. I thank you all to you listeners for taking the time, and I just say au revoir and à plus.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
See you.
See you.